This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride, if he's not the elder, he's good talk, you would say. Hi.
Hey.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hi, everyone. Hi, E.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I mean, yeah, I don't have an answer for you. I would love to be able to say how I am. I know that I'm alive and well in the sense of, like, you know, I woke up winning. Boop, boop,
boop. We woke up winning.
But I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes my mind is not my own. I came from Pride. And
yeah, you just went to Asbury Park Pride. How was that?
Oh, okay. I love Pride. I've been at that Asbury Park Pride since I was 17, which is 30 years at this point. And when I was first there on the Great Lawn, there were maybe, there was no vendors. There was somebody with a boombox and music, and we dressed impeccably. Can I tell you? The young Black queers of Jersey, we were on fire. Okay, hair was done. Nails were done. We had matching outfits. Everything was in place. I still see us
matching
there.
Matching outfits.
I know. We don't match anymore. But I remember one of my girlfriends and I, we wore white dresses with jean shirts. It was just God. And rainbow shoes. Don't ask questions.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
But this Pride is different. There were at least 2 million people there.
They're bigger. Pride celebrations are really big.
It's a lot of people who are gay now or queer or allies.
Which is good.
It is. I don't know. Can I be honest, America? I'm with you, Jay.
America.
I just need an older person's pride. Like, I want to segregate pride to just, like, you have, this is Gen X pride. This is,
you know what?
Pride. Is that horrible? I just don't know how to deal with it.
This is what you want, the wine and cheese night version. Like,
yes.
When I worked on the ship, they had the crew parties that were in the crew bar. I couldn't handle those. I didn't go to those. But every once a month, they would do the wine and cheese night, which I was always at. Always.
That's the one to be.
That's what we need. We need the wine and cheese version of Pride because we are too old.
Here's what I'm too old for. The sun all day. People and their, okay. I don't body shame anyone. I think it's wonderful that everybody's body is different. Do what you want to with it. I also understand that I was brought up at a different time and we didn't reveal our bodies like that. And if we did reveal our bodies, it was a different type of body that was revealed. So I'm just, I feel like I get caught looking at things that I don't want to be caught looking at. Well, you know what I'm saying?
The kids today,
they don't put no clothes on.
You guys, I know. Well, and that's why retailers think that we don't want the bottom half of shirts anymore. You can't find a bottom half of a shirt. What's up with that?
I saw so many Daisy Dukes on booties that I never would have imagined putting Daisy Dukes on. And it's fine. Like, a booty is booty. Great. We all have
a booties. Lot of butt cheeks now.
It's a lot
right?
of butt cheeks, a lot of belly cheeks. It's a lot of stuff going on. In the-
I say to you youngins, you go ahead with your bad self because you're not going to have that forever. I don't have the guts.
It's a different aesthetic.
Different world.
It's a different world. I feel very like I'm walking around. I felt very like, oh God, the ground is wet. And why are they so loud? And can we turn the music down? And I was, yeah.
This is what I want to say to all you youngins out there. You go ahead with your bad selves. Yeah. You go do that. You do you, booze. And we're going to sit back and enjoy our wine and cheese tonight.
Yeah. Or I might just watch it on Facebook next year. Like, right. I'm really good. I think I'm done.
But the point is, it's Pride Month and yay, right?
Yeah, you see my queer stuff? You see my queer bracelet from...
You wear that all month, E.
I'm going to wear it all month. Absolutely.
You are. We're just going to pride it up. But listen, E, yes. I want to tell you something. What? You don't know this, oh my God, but we have a new review about the new direction that the show is taking.
Oh.
And people are enjoying this new direction. You want me to read you this review?
I mean, is it good?
This is from MCC114604.
All right, MCC114604.
They wrote, love the new direction. I've listened to many episodes over the past year, and I've always found the dynamic between the hosts comforting and familiar. But I am also enjoying how the show is developing with just Jamie / Jamie plus E. It's more open without being woke for the sake of being woke. As in, we can have our normal human reactions and questions, but I think those are coming from a more considerate place, and there's less judgment about things like unknown donors. A wonderful podcast to have that reflects our unique experiences. Look at that.
My
Look at that.
God. MC, whatever the thing is.
MCC114604. Thank you.
Thank you. That's really wonderful. I'm happy to hear that.
Because under the umbrella of us trying to make this even more inclusive of our beautiful, vast, varied rainbow of a community, that's just a testament to the fact that we're doing it and we're working on it and we're doing it, E. So good job, you.
Good job, you. Good choice. I have to say, good choice.
Well, we're having too much fun. And because it's Pride.
Yes.
Pride Month, we wanted to take some time to like highlight some of our favorite social media accounts in case Absolutely. Some of you are looking for more queer accounts to follow, to give you inspiration, give you a little queer love. We have kind of a list of accounts we like. So get your pens and paper ready or get your phone in hand and start typing these into your Instagram account.
Should I start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go.
Okay. The Read with Crystal and Fury. It's unapologetically gay, black, and angry and joyful. And it's just shade at its best. The Read, for those of you who may not know what a read is. I know you know what a read is. But a read in the Black community that I know about is when you go off and you read somebody for filth or you read them to tell them all about themselves because they need to know to be better people in the world. And you're actually helping them. So that's what a read is. So
I have to check this account out. I don't follow this one.
Yes, with Crystal and Kid Fury. If you are sensitive about racial issues, this may not be the place for you because I said they're unapologetic. Not you, Jay, but like America.
America. Yeah. America.
Yes. So be prepared for it. Also, Dan Savage, the Savage Love Cast. I don't know, but I feel like Dan Savage is my brother from another mother who was Catholic and white and from Chicago. But
is he gay?
He's so gay. He's
I don't know
the,
this.
Dan Savage has been the gayest, and he's a... like people write in to get advice.
Oh, that's fun.
Check out Dan Savage. It's tremendous.
It's a queer Dear Abby.
It's a queer. Yes. He's the queer Dear Abby.
Well, I love it. Okay. Well, I have two.
Okay.
And we're going to share some more throughout the month because this is important stuff. It is show support for all our queer brethren. Is that the right word? I don't know. That's kind of weird.
Otherins? I don't know.
Brethren, sister, otherin?
Otherin.
Them. But so, okay, I love one of my favorite accounts. You all know I love plants. I love my plants. And I follow Plant Queen. That's K-W-E-E-N. This human being is such a breath of fresh air. knows everything about plants, has so much information, and has all these beautiful videos of this lush plant life they have growing in their home and in their nursery. And they always, it's like a fashion show every time. I am in love with Plant Queen. Shout out to Plant Queen. And then also Queers, Queerrs. It's a really great informational site. They're always putting up really great infographics about queer culture and things you should know, things you should be aware of. And I just, I savor every post that they put up. So those are my two for today. And that's that.
Yeah.
That's,
and we were going to say Rachel, about. Like everybody loves Rachel. And I don't mean Dolezal. I mean, Maddow.
Rachel Maddow. But Rachel doesn't need our support.
She don't need ours, but we support her, of course.
We support Rachel.
I feel like she's not at Pride either. I feel like she's somewhere in a little cabana.
She's at wine and cheese night. We need to start the wine and cheese night Pride night. Hey, I don't know why we haven't done this yet. Once a week during June.
How about for next year, maybe, we'll have a fancy option so that all of the adults and no one under the age of what? Young. No one in the age of young. And we get together and we do a Pride like event for us.
Wine and cheese tasting.
Wine and cheese. And it'll be like 12
whatever you want.
$1,200 a ticket. It'll be a fundraiser. I'm totally
all right,
joking.
Let's do that.
Oh, but maybe, yes.
Okay, I have one more item of business. And then we got to get to our
guest.
Can I
say one thing
guest.
Real quick about mm-hmm. Asbury and Tomboy mm-hmm. X and Target? So, you know, yeah. I did my post about Tomboy X clothes being at mm-hmm. Target because I love Tomboy X. It has never been in a retail store that I knew about anywhere right. I lived. So I walk in.
It's gender inclusive clothing.
It's gender inclusive clothing. I walk into Target. I'm flabbergasted. They have their whole little gay corner. I'm like, I'm buying all the gay things. I buy the gay things. And then I make the tragic mistake of wearing the gay things to Pride. Don't ever do that, people. Because why? Everybody had on my damn gay clothes. Because I went to gay Pride in gay clothes from Target.
Isn't that the point of camaraderie? Like,
no,
we're all coming together.
I don't like people wearing my gay clothes.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing that they're there in Target. It would be great if they keep it there year round, right?
Tomboy X, we need more.
Push for that.
More styles.
I want to say one thing. My book that I wrote with my former co-host, Robin Hopkins, we just found out it is a 2022 International Book Awards finalist. So, woo-hoo! Where's your whoop whoop?
I'm trying to do it. Wait.
We'll do it next time,
Okay, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very exciting. I really don't know what it means, but it sounds pretty cool. So that happened.
That's pretty cool.
All right. We have to say a huge thank you to our newest Patreon members.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Rebecca Don Spano, thank you so much for joining our community.
Megan Monahan, thank you so much for joining our queer community.
Yes, Rebecca and Megan, thank you. Thank you for joining. And if you want to help us make content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community and you can do just that. You're going to do a good thing and you get that bonus content. At the gestational carrier level, you get video interviews of most episodes, and those are dropped a day early, which
dropped
is very
when?
Exciting. A day early.
Boom.
So head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join and, you know, help us out. Yes. All right. Our guest, Emily Nielsen.
Emily Nielsen. Ah, what a great conversation. Emily has two moms plus because they have an extended family that was created by their two moms that just sounds, I don't want to use the word tremendous anymore because what's his face messed it up for me, but it just sounds tremendous.
I absolutely love Emily. I love talking to Emily. And Emily wrote a children's book about going to the Pride parade with their two moms. And it is a beautiful book.
Beautiful.
And so it's so great. We brought Emily in to talk with us about their life and why they made this book. And I am so happy they did. But I think let's not tell everybody what it is. Let's let Emily talk for themselves. Helen, can you roll the tape, please? Roll the tape, Helen.
Roll it.
Hi, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
We are so happy to have you. This is Emily Nielsen. We are so very happy to have you because I feel like I secreted you into existence, Emily.
Yeah, I think my parents would say the same thing.
Because I have been, I have been wanting a book like the one you wrote for a very long time. I've been telling everybody, you need to write a book about this. You need to write a book about this. And at one point I was even like, should I write a book about this? And I was like, absolutely not, Jamie. You should not write a book about this because you have no idea how. But I'm so glad you you wrote in, you sent this beautiful book, and let's do your elevator pitch so everybody at home, you tell the folks who you are, because I will butcher it. You do it.
Okay.
Your elevator pitch, 30 seconds. Okay, I'm going to put a timer up. Don't be scared.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Ready? Uh-huh. Un, deux, trois. Action.
All right. Okay. So my name is Emily Nielsen. I am 28 years old. My pronouns are they, them. And I'm a picture book author and illustrator, but I also happen to be an anonymously sperm donated, artificially inseminated child of lesbians. So naturally, I wrote a picture book about going to the San Francisco Pride Parade with my parents as a kid. It's like a holiday book, but about pride.
Oh my God.
That was perfect.
Boom. This is what you, it's like you've come to me like a Christmas gift, Emily. I have been saying and saying for so long, why is there not a book for children about pride? Because as I've said many times to my daughter, who's 8, like pride is one of her favorite holidays. She looks forward to June. No, and it
really is. Like for us rainbow kids, like it's just another holiday. It's like,
right,
whatever. You got your birthday, you got your Christmas, and then you got pride. It's like it fills in one of those nice holiday gaps where you're waiting for something to celebrate, and it's there. It's an official one.
And rainbows are everywhere.
Flags
are everywhere. Everybody's happy.
And it, like, you don't get many holidays like that where the adults are excited and the adults are like energized and like feeling happy about themselves and stuff. Right. Like that's not something you get out of other holidays.
I remember my first pride. It was in New York City, and my girlfriend at the time and I, we dressed up and we had white dresses and denim jackets, and we had on our beads, and we were just and so excited, and it was so fun. Fast track to 2019. I don't know if I can do it anymore in the same way.
But you'll do it in your different way.
Absolutely. Different. Absolutely. But I think every young person should have this book. Well, because if you're not in the community of the community, you're for the community and you need to understand it. So
that's why this book is so very important. That's exactly why.
And honestly, like, even if you don't have some, like, even if you don't have to work at being proud of your like gender or sexuality, there's always something to work on being proud about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just like, it's hard to be like a self-actualized individual in this world and remain that way. And so like, it's something we have to practice from childhood. Like even whether you're in a marginalized community or not, it's something that takes effort and practice, and it's worth effort and practice.
Can I tell you how great it is to hear you at 28 talking like this? I don't want to be an ageist. I'm not. But at 28, I didn't know my ass from a hole in the wall. That's a horrible phrase. I'm going to take that back. But at 28,
it's too
I wasn't.
Late. You said it already.
I did
too
say late. It. Yeah. But I'm so excited to hear you and see your work at 28 because you're already so far, you know.
You know why?
They were raised by lesbian parents.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's why. Because Emily parents. Was raised by a lesbian mom.
Tell us about that. How did that happen?
Before we get into that.
Okay,
well, we can, but I just want to tell this story of the reason why I have been trying to put this book out into the universe in my own brain was because last year in June, my daughter and I were on the way to school on the bus, and we were passing rainbow after rainbow because it's June and we're in New York City, you know, and all the big businesses now decorate for Pride because that's what happened. But she loves it. And she was like, oh, she's looking at it. And then she looked at me with a really sad look on her face and she said, Mom, how come my school doesn't celebrate Pride? How come they don't even talk about Pride? And I was like, ugh. I was like, I got to get books on Pride. I got to get kids books on Pride. And I went and I looked and there wasn't one. The only one I could find was a book about Harvey Milk, which is good, but it's not like I wanted a book that she could bring to school to explain to her classmates why she feels so much joy when she goes to the Pride Parade or when the month of June comes around, because we make it such a big deal. And I couldn't find, and now you made it. You freaking made it, Emily. So, okay, let's go into why you are such a well-rounded and wonderful, wonderful soul. Let's go into you, how you started out.
Yeah, how'd you get here?
All right, how'd I get here? Okay. So, my moms met when they were both counselors at Girl Scout camp. As I feel like do. It would wow. make, wow. yeah, it would make a really good like gay rom-com. Cause like yes. one of my moms was like the one in charge and the other one was just a regular counselor. So it was like a little forbidden, but not in a way that's like anti-gay. It was just kind of like a a boss employee relationship.
This could be more than just a rom-com.
Hello, oh, yeah.
But anyway, TV.
Yeah, I know. And sorry, we're talking about your mom. Okay.
Children's book. And yeah, they met when they were like pretty young. They were like 19 and 21, I think.
Wow.
They're just like babies. And then they, yeah. they were
Are
together
they still together?
No. Oh, they okay. split after like 21 years or something like that.
Oh, so my that's goodness. A success to me. That's a total oh successful and, relationship.
And they really had like a fairy tale divorce too. Like they like remained friends, like found people who were perfect for them in the same career paths. It's been cute. I think it's been a good like life arc for the both of them.
Aww. I hope my son speaks like
Can
that.
You're just writing books everywhere you go. You got a rom-com coming out. And then we have the nice queer divorce, the example of how to do it. That's
the
your
fairy tale divorce.
Mm-hmm, yes, sure. The fairy tale divorce. Okay. So what? So they meet, they fall in love, and then
yeah,
and then
they like spend 10 years together or so, and then they decide that they want to have a kid. And that becomes a whole pregnancy journey, as you guys talk about all the time. Like mm-hmm. that was hard for them. I think they started trying like in 1990, maybe. So it was like really uh-huh. early.
Wow.
Yeah, there was the Sperm Bank of California on Telegraph in Oakland. That was like the place to go. Uh-huh. But they only had frozen sperm. And so my mom tried like, I think she did like 12 cycles of frozen wow. sperm.
Like IUIs.
Yeah, just like artificial insemination type deal. And it was like they didn't even have like ovulation kits until mm-hmm. she was trying for a year. So she was just doing it with like a thermometer for a while.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they
that's how I learned about it.
Yeah.
Basal body temperature.
Basal body temperature. Oh,
I took that a lot.
It was such a process.
So they tried the 12 cycles of frozen sperm and it wasn't working. And those 12 frozen cycles, like it was kind of more like normal anonymous sperm donors now, where like you get a sheet and it's about the donor and like uh-huh. they can choose to contact them at 18. And none of that was working. So they had to go to a clinic that was like truly anonymous, where you get like nothing about the person.
Right.
You get maybe like hair color, eye color, height, and that's about
it.
And so they went to one of those because they did fresh sperm. And it was kind of a weird one. Yeah, it was like a weird, like just like a doctor or two who would just wander around college campuses and like ask people if they wanted to donate.
We interviewed somebody who was conceived in the late 80s. Same,
yeah, no, that's
same
how
deal.
It was done. So I really don't know much about, well, actually, no, now I do. But growing up, I didn't know much about who this person was.
Mm-hmm,
So true anonymity, at least
right.
for some amount of time.
But you know this person now.
Oh my gosh, that's its own like
okay,
whole story.
We'll get there. Let me slow down. Let's back up. Finish the journey. The
okay,
journey
okay.
to you.
So the fresh sperm finally took, they did three cycles of fresh sperm. So it still mm-hmm. is like, at this point, it's almost a year and a half of just, you know, all the feelings that come with that. And then finally, the one that worked, the one that wound up being me, my mom's friend, I guess, suggested that my mom like, you know, like make it a kind of exciting experience for herself.
Experience. That's what I did. That's yes. the one that worked.
That's yep. what we did. That's the one
after
that worked.
After 3 years.
Exactly.
After two.
Yeah,
yeah.
It seems
wow.
like, I don't know, as clinical of a process as this is, sometimes it needs to not be in order for it to work. My mom told me this like a week ago. I was like, okay, that's kind of too much info, but also could be useful. Like I should share this.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, yeah. I love that you did.
My mom finally became pregnant, which was mm-hmm. great. And there was a little funky stuff, like she was a kindergarten teacher and there were parents who took their kids out of her class because they didn't want to have to explain how she was pregnant. And she still went by Ms. Like she went by Ms. Nielsen instead of Mrs. Nielsen. And they thought it was inappropriate that she was pregnant.
What? Did they,
yeah.
know, did they know that she was gay too?
Probably, but who
or
knows?
Or was it mostly just because she was unwed?
I don't know. It might have just been because she was unwed, but either way, I mean, it was a pretty rural community, but
the world is so hard on female identified persons. We got to change that.
I mean, it was 30 years ago, so maybe it's that, but before I finally was born, they like my parents were trying really hard to just sort of like do just the internal work, like the pride work around trying to have a kid, of just like really coming to terms with their own internalized homophobia and just kind of making sure that they were living out and proud with each other, and that I was sort of like coming into an environment where they weren't still carrying that baggage.
Which I have to say, well, exactly. I have to say, that's even hard nowadays. That's stuff that we still work through. But 30 years ago, that's a whole nother. I mean, people took their children out of your mother's class.
Yeah, like my parents almost got jumped on the street in San Francisco. Like it was
because they were like holding hands.
Yeah, they were walking around in the cast room, and there was someone who, like, if they hadn't jumped into their car fast enough, it might have been a. So it was a different world, and like there's part of me that remembers that world, and like I almost gaslight myself because the world has changed a lot in a lot of ways. I mean, there's still some funky stuff, and sometimes it's like a backlash effect or something because the world has changed so much. But it is like, it's wild to think about the things that were there in my childhood, that it just was so different. The conversations I was having were so different.
It's so amazing that you acknowledge your parents doing the internal work. My son, when he was born, I realized at one point, because I was always rolling him around the mall. I live in Jersey. Malls are everything. And I'm rolling him around the mall, and people are like, your son, I bet your husband is so this, that, and your husband. I'm like, I really have to address this because he's here. Usually I'd be like, yeah, my husband is great, whatever, and just keep it moving. Mm-hmm. But when he's around, I can't do that. You know what I mean? And I had to build myself up to say, there's no husband. He looks like his mom, though, right? Mm-hmm. Or his other mom.
Yeah.
And
because really it's about him.
And it's about him.
That's what it becomes. And that's what we talk about. That's a recurring theme in all of our episodes. And we put it in, it's in the book too. Like, once that child is here, you have to model pride no matter what.
Yep.
No matter what.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to me, Emily, that that's something that you acknowledge and that you see, and that you even put in this here book, which
I tried to work absolutely into the book.
Yes,
because I also, well, of course, like I wrote this book as an adult, and I feel like I'm still working through my own stuff, and like now I'm kind of on the other end of it, of like, all right, if I have a kid, what will I be teaching them, and like, who will I be for them, but also for myself, and all of that sort of stuff. And then my parents kind of mentioned like, yeah, the emotional preparation that was involved, and that was kind of mind blowing for me. Of course, as a kid, you look at your parents and you're like, they've always been the way they are. Yeah. Like, they're just like, just came out proud and loud and whatever. But
it took work.
Really not how it is.
No. And it's ongoing. It's ongoing work.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Emily, it's exciting for us to see you as two people who are married, raising children in lesbian relationships. I still haven't figured out how to call my relationship at this point, but I think lesbian still works, I guess. And to see you, and just your whole self, your being, you seem, we're not in the same room, but you were so calm with our technical issues, and you just seem like a lovely human being. And so it's exciting because, for me at least, it's like, it works.
It affirms that we're on the right track.
Yes, yes.
Basically, you're just the best person in the world.
I don't know about all that, but like, I definitely feel like I had just a really wonderful parent-child relationship, and through all of it, I have lots of step parents who've been really kind and stuff, and there's just been a lot of like loving, like parental gay energy in my life, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Intentional
but
families.
I think that, like, I mean, parenting's hard. I don't know. Like,
it's so hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah, I'm not one yet. That sounds like
take your time.
But yeah, I had a really, really good experience.
So I'd love to delve more into that. So you come along, your parents are modeling pride. What was it like for you growing up with your two moms?
I was just always super proud about them. Like, I think I would go out of my way to bring them up in conversations and stuff. Like, they did a good job at whatever pride they were modeling, because I definitely soaked that up. And it was just kind of a... it's one of those conversations or like facts about yourself that comes up constantly when you're little, because people just seem to mention parents or like, oh, what does your dad do? What does your mom do? And just like, it's many of the like weird little filler conversations are just an instant road to, oh, my parents are lesbians and blah, 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 blah. And back then, like, it was also like, well, how did that work? And then that led to artificial insemination conversations and blah, 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 blah. So I wound up totally being someone who would, I like worked out this whole like strategy for explaining artificial insemination on the playground to other kids.
How did you do it? Do you remember?
Well, I do. My first question had to be like, do you know what sex was? And then I had to make them prove it to me.
How old are you at this point?
This was really young. This had to have been between like second and fourth grade.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's the next book, right?
Oh God. Yeah.
It's just titled Emily on the Playground.
Because how do kids know how to have that conversation with their peers in situations where their peers are open to hearing it? You know, my son, he has four moms at this point, and I don't know how he's talking. He won't talk. He's 11. He stopped kind of talking to me, but I always wonder if he has issues. And he's like, no, there are other kids who have two moms or two dads. And
I feel like it's kind of different now.
Yeah.
Like I have a much younger sister, and I feel like the challenges that she's faced have been a little different than the ones that I've faced, but it still is hard. it's a different challenge.
I mean, you know, my daughter is 7, and my daughter has known about sperm and ovaries and all the stuff since she could hear. Like, we've been telling her about it all the time. And then what quickly follows. And I'm sure, Emily, that kind of like your life followed a similar pattern to this too. Your moms were talking about this all the time, which very easily and naturally led into, well, then how a baby is made is that I have already explained sex to my daughter so that she gets how she was created, because it's just a natural trajectory for how we have to explain our families, because it's obvious to our kids.
Yeah. No, I started asking questions at like 3 or something. Like,
exactly.
There's no putting off these conversations. They just are gonna happen early. But
and so you knew more on the playground than the other kids. And so what would you do? I want to hear.
Well, okay. So it got to the point where at first I was explaining all of the details, which like in this very scientific way, because I was a kid and it's like, this is just another organ and I don't really care.
The penis, the vagina. Yeah,
exactly. The uterus, using all the right terms.
Sperm, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then I like talked to my mom about it at one point, and she was like, maybe don't explain the whole thing. Maybe leave some of it for the parents. I think she put it really gently.
Calls
she was
home? Like,
yeah, she just didn't want, she didn't want everyone else to freak
Your
out.
Your daughter has been talking to the class about the uterus and the cervix and semen. We need you to pick her up.
Yeah. Well, we got scared that the other parents were going to complain because our daughter knew so much and she'll just tell anybody. Yeah. And so I actually started like texting my mom friends like, okay, Rose has been asking about sex. So these are the books we have in case you want to pick these books up. And I just started it rolling because I didn't want to get blamed.
This was my mom.
I wanted the parents to start the conversation because the kids are talking. Kids are talking now, you know?
Yeah. Well, so. And kids talk anyway. And so they're either going to share really terrible, wrong information, exactly. Which was kind of like, as I was asking these questions, I would get what they thought would happen, which is all very ludicrous. Like there's a lot of really strange images that
you can't get pregnant by kissing standing up. That was
mine. Exactly. Well, and kids become afraid of these things, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if I stand too close to someone or like...
Right. If I hug too long, I'm going
to
get pregnant.
Next to someone. Exactly. Having information is empowering.
Yes.
I think my parents went to some sort of coach early on and they asked them what they should do about these kind of questions. And the person was like, information is power. Information is power. And so every time I like asked an awkward question, my parents just turned to each other and were like, information is power, and then just like kind of carried on because
and then you dive
it's true.
Mm-hmm. You dive right in. Okay, so tell us more about, you know, growing up.
Yeah, well, okay, and then of course we went to the Pride Parade every year. I guess I haven't talked at all about that.
Yeah, so, why did this book come about?
Okay, so they took me, I used to say that I'd been more years than I'd been alive because they took me when I was like a little baby who had just been born. And so by the time school came around, that was usually how it worked out. But it was just like always this, I don't know, it was just like always such a special place. And it was kind of before all the companies jumped on board and before, like Pride has just changed so much over the years. Mm-hmm. And so like just the, I don't know.
It's a spectacle and it's corporate and
it's been commercialized. That's the problem.
Commercialized so much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't before. It was just kind of artists and people being themselves. It was just always such like a positive happy place and a place where like we really weren't alone. We were part of something big. And that was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I love Pride. It's very nostalgic.
It is.
The joy that you're talking about in going to Pride shows in the book.
That's so wonderful. That makes me so happy that you say that.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the book, I do want to dive one little thing into growing up, having a completely anonymous donor. Mm-hmm. And if you ever had any issues over that or like, what was that like for you?
Yeah. So I feel like growing up, it was always kind of like, I was totally fine with it. I was kind of like, I have all the parents I need. Mm-hmm. I have more parents than I need really. Like once those step parents entered in the picture, it was like, I am rich in parental energy. I am not looking for a man to fill any void. But it was always kind of like an exciting extra of like, well, and then at some point, maybe I'll learn about my sperm donor. Like my parents mm-hmm. had kind of planted the seed of the idea that like, we know that he was from Stanford. We know what his majors were. We know what his height was. We could probably like do a little research and look in the yearbooks and kind of figure out who he was. And mm-hmm. so I always had that as sort of like in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, maybe one day I'll do that. And then at one point when I was a teenager, my parents would ask periodically, like, are you interested in learning more about your donor? And I would always be like, no, moms, you're enough. Like, never. I don't need anyone else. But then eventually in high school, I was like, yeah, maybe at some point I would look him up or something like that. And they were just like, they got so excited and were just like, Emily's ready for the file. And like march over to their little cabinet and pull out this file with two pieces of paper in it, like nothing.
that they had been holding on to for 16 years.
Yes. And it turns out that like right after I was born, they had gone and looked up his name in the yearbooks and like had a name and had like this weird little yearbook photo. And then of course, like by the time I'm a teenager, like the internet's there. So I totally researched him and learned much more than anyone should know about someone who doesn't know that they're being researched. But so I know who he is. I know what he's kind of done with his life. And I was kind of researching a little bit about him when I was a teenager, but then I feel like the things just got kind of more dramatic as an adult because mm-hmm. of like ancestry.com. Because I like enrolled there and matched with him. And I tried to message him and he just never responded. And instead he kind of found like multiple ways of blocking me over the years. And I just sent one message that was kind of like, hey, ever want to get coffee? I don't know. Yeah. It was a very like nothing kind of message. But I think that the challenge is that people like donate sperm when they're really young and then enter into these marriages and relationships and don't know how, like, don't know that we're not expecting them to be parents.
Right.
Like, I think that there's just kind of an uncertain dynamic because it doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. And so it would be good if there were like, in order to donate sperm, you had to just go to a class where it's like, this is what to expect. This is what you have to offer. Like, because at this point, I don't think anonymous sperm donation is even a realistic possibility. Like there's just only so much anonymity you can have when things like ancestry.com exist. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's kind of a funky little thing. But like, on the other hand, like I had a whole childhood of like, loved it. The anonymous sperm donation thing like was an excellent option. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't want it to have gone differently, but I do feel like there's progress to be made in just setting expectations across the board.
In some regulations. I mean, there are a lot of donor conceived people groups who are trying to get more regulation about donors and how it all works. And I understand it. And you know, not everybody's story is as open and honest as yours was. And when the betrayal happens for a lot of folks, that's really hard. But what did it feel like for you when he like blocked you and stuff? Even when you just wrote like a silly little note?
I mean, I also like, since I had known his name for a long time before this and like had avoided reaching out. Like I was, like, what do you say? Like, mm-hmm. what do you really want from this person? Right. Like, I don't really, there's nothing tangible that I need from him, but there is this weird sort of desire to make contact. Mm. But like, it's hard to write a letter that's like, hi,
right.
Hi, how's it going?
Right.
I'm your kid. Want to get coffee? It's just, there's no like natural, nonchalant thing you can do. It's just mm-hmm. always strange. I was definitely bitter about it. I spent a lot mm-hmm. of time grouching about it to coworkers or whatever, but it's also like, he has kids that he's probably thinking about. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. It's not slowing my life down.
Right. So you're in another place with it now. You're somewhere else with the whole, are you in a different place with it? Or are you still kind of disgruntled?
No, I feel like I'm fine now.
Yeah.
It's just an unusual type of relationship to have with someone.
It's right. complex, right? It's mm-hmm. it's very complex, layered subject.
Yeah. I'm excited for his kids to grow up. I'm curious if I'll be able to have any kind of relationship with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I kind of care more about the siblings than the donor. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's mm-hmm. much more fun. Mm-hmm. I was an only child for a bunch of my life. And then I had a part-time stepsister who was there for like 3 years, maybe. And then I had my stepsister, who's currently my stepsister, who like entered my world when she was maybe like four. And she's my like true sister. She's 11 years younger. But other than that, like there are people who have kind of come into my life in and out as sort of sibling-like people. And so I feel like I'm always just like on board for more family. And like, it doesn't have to be like this weird high stress, high commitment thing
right.
that I think people, I don't know, everyone just has their own baggage.
Yeah, everyone does have their own baggage. And that's one of the beautiful things about our community is the whole chosen family thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us get really used to creating our own families because the ones we have didn't necessarily agree with us or want to yeah. be around us. Not everyone, but we make our own families and we make bigger families and we get really creative. But I can imagine that it's really layered for you and a complex question to even try to answer. So thank you yeah. for
no, I definitely appreciate like, it. I'll definitely make art about it.
Like, there you go.
I feel like that's kind of the route I take with these things.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Can we get to the book now? I love everything we're talking about, but this book, it just, first of all, I love the illustrations and the fearlessness in which you're telling the story. I don't want to give it away and I'm good at giving things away. So I just think this book is beautiful.
Summarize the book for us. So it's called The Rainbow Parade by Emily Nielsen.
Yeah. So The Rainbow Parade was always what I called the Pride Parade as a kid. It was the name of the event in my mind. It was are we going to the Rainbow Parade this year? That was the idea. And so this book is just, it's like a autobiographical story about going to Pride with my parents every year. It's hard to say that something's true, right? Because you're just like squashing a ton of memories into a story. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I feel like there's always some amount of fiction that has to enter into the picture when things are made into a story. But it was about as true as I could possibly make it. It's like truer than true. It's like the editing that was involved only like made the story feel more real and more like my memory.
This is yeah. one of my favorites. The audience can't see this right now, but that you address that because when my son,
what is it? That
it's this one.
You got to tell the listeners.
I don't want to give it away. Should I give it away? Is that okay?
Yeah. So in the book, I drew a variety of amounts of dress. So mm-hmm. like there are some people who are very undressed and there are some people who are dressed in very, you know, pride type costumes. And
you've got drag queens going yeah, on.
I've got drag. I've got some leather.
You've got
diversity yeah, you've off covered, the chain. Yes, like it yeah. looks like a parade. It looks like a rainbow parade.
You've got the signs. You've got the people mm-hmm. carrying the signs and the beautiful things that are said on the signs.
I figured I had to put these things in just to like start the conversations here. Cause like kids ask questions about this stuff. So like it's nice to have it kind of here so that if you're going to go to the parade later, at least you can like talk through it in the book of like, yeah, people are just wearing what they need to wear. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And for kids, it's not an issue. Like, because adults do so much weird stuff everywhere, this isn't actually that weird for us children.
Right.
When you are a child in this environment, it's no weirder than what's in magazines. It's no weirder than what adults do at backyard parties. It is, it's just kind of like fits in with the whole landscape of strange adult behavior.
Well, and then at one point, you and your moms get invited to join the parade. And this is what makes this book a good book for everyone to read, because it's not just about the gay thing. It's about finding pride within yourself, because the character of the child holds back before mm-hmm. joining the parade and is a little bit afraid to join the parade. Can you like speak to why you did that? And
I mean, so this is what my mom really did every time we went to the parade, is she decided, she got into her head that like the fastest way to the festival at the end of the parade was to jump the fence and go march in the parade to the end.
I love
you. She decided that was really efficient and that was the route we were going to take every year. Yeah. And so, of course, little Emily was mortified at that for a variety of reasons. Some of which were just like, oh, the people in the parade are really cool. Like, we're not cool like that. Some of it was just like
imposter syndrome, right?
I know, exactly. Yeah. Like, are we gay enough to be there? Like, I don't know. And then also various like child feelings of like the other kids in the parade were just a lot younger than me or a lot older than me, or like just in a different social sphere than I was. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you like, as a kid, there are these barriers to finding mm-hmm. community that you can't mm-hmm. really express. Mm-hmm. And so there was always like, whenever this was posited by my mom in this very lovely way, I would be like, absolutely not. That's a terrible idea.
Immediately no.
And every time she would do it anyway. And every time I would like gradually love it. Right, like by the right. end of the parade, I would be waving and like jumping around and like
having
the time of my life. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and she knew that. And so I think that's part of why she had me do it like every year. But
your moms sound amazing.
They're really lovely individuals.
I'm up for adoption.
Borrow some moms.
And this is the line that made me tear up when I read it to my daughter. This is the line right here. I teared up and I had to hold it in because she would be like, what's wrong with you? The line where you said, sometimes finding your pride takes a little practice. I was like, I couldn't even get through the sentence. It's like, it's fine. It's totally fine.
It does require
because, and it's true. And that's mm-hmm. why I love this book so much.
Yeah, I kind of like spent a long time trying to like, because as I sat down to write this book, like I was like, oh, I've gone to Pride my whole life. And do I actually know what it's about? Like, do I actually, mm. have I taken away what I should be taking away from Pride? Am I a proud individual? Like, have I gotten there yet? And I was just like, I don't know that I've gotten there yet. Like, what does that mean? And is that the true meaning of pride? That it's right. this journey, that it takes practice, and that it is a practice. It might be a lifelong journey. And if that's the message, then that's really the message we need to give to kids too, is like, it's okay to look at this parade and see all these people and be kind of intimidated by them being themselves, because it takes work. Like, it's okay mm-hmm. if you aren't feeling like that yet. Because mm-hmm. you can just jump the barrier and march in the parade, and maybe that's your practice for the day, or maybe it's just like waking up and going to school and saying you have the family you do. Like it, and that practice can look like really simple, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be joining a parade. It could be, I don't know, just like just some quiet internal moment you have with yourself.
Crying, right? You're making me cry. And that is the true meaning of pride. I feel like it's Pride Christmas. It's like you just gave us the meaning of pride just now.
Oh my gosh, beautiful. I tried so hard. Yeah. It was like a whole thing of like, I gotta, because you can't have a holiday book without a true meaning of statement,
exactly.
right?
You did. You gave us the magic of pride.
And you know what? I would go to Pride, and I think I mentioned I started at 17-ish until now. With your question, I'm like, oh, I should have a deeper reason besides checking out chicks and being in having a fun time with my peeps and getting toasted. Like,
but honestly, that is a celebration of your pride.
But it is. Like, I loved it.
That is doing the thing.
When I was single and I was younger, it was like you get dressed up and you see all the people and you never really meet anyone, but you dance with people, and
yeah,
it's just a community
you feel
day.
Like you belong.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
your practice for the day.
Yeah.
You go somewhere where you belong.
And where you're in the majority.
Yeah, you are not the minority. You are not othered here.
Right.
And that's
the true beauty of Pride. Oh my God, I'm just going to cry. But but you know what? We really love this book, and we're so glad you wrote it. And I think that this book needs to be in every school library across the country.
Because it is magical.
It's magical, and in the vein of inclusion and education, this book needs to be read.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just so glad you guys like it.
I really so do. Happy. I love really it. Do. Okay, so Emily, tell everybody where they can get this book.
I think it's just a wherever books are sold type situation. But I mean, that also means like it's an opportunity to support your local bookshop. That's what all like authors want to hear, because if you call a small bookshop, it's actually kind of better for us because it sometimes they'll order multiple copies or it just helps them hear about the book. So it kind of spreads the word a little bit more than if you just order it from Amazon or order it from one of the bigger box places. But I don't know, whatever works for you, lives are busy.
Wherever you need to get it, IndieBound is a good place to look too. Mm-hmm. And go to your local library and request a copy at your library.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's always helpful for authors too. That's huge.
Right. So everybody go to your local library and tell the librarian that they need to get The Rainbow Parade by Emily Nielsen on their shelves in the children's section. And then everybody go out and buy this book and read it to your children for this Pride. Because everybody needs this on their shelves.
Everybody does. And you know what? I have a library across the street, and right down about two doors down, there's an independent bookseller that's been there for like 25 years. I'm going as soon as we finish, and I'm going to see if he has your book. And then I'm going to walk across the street, and I'm going to tell the library, if y'all don't have this book, get it.
This has been such a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I feel like we need to have your moms back.
I know, have your moms on.
Oh, man, yeah.
So they can debunk everything you said.
I know, exactly. Like, they got it all wrong.
This has been great. Your book is great. Thank you for you, and thank your parents for you and shining the way you do and putting that shine in your book that we're all going to celebrate. So you're amazing. But you would know that. You've had these great moms that have told you, so you know.
You guys are really sweet. Thank you so much for having me.
Emily.
Emily, I love Emily.
Emily is amazing. And the illustrations of their book, oh my gosh.
Go follow Emily Nielsen because they put up all these posts of the making of their illustrations. What an artist this Emily is. And if you saw their intro video that we shared on Sunday of this episode, you'll see they're very creative. Emily is so creative. So check Emily out as well.
The book is called The Rainbow Parade. Just such beautiful art. And just a testament to how great our families look.
I just think I find it refreshing that Emily seems like such a well-rounded, intelligent, beautiful individual. And I attest that to the fact that they had two moms and they were raised with a lot of intention. I don't know. They did something right. They did something right. And Emily, mwah, love ya. Listen, if you want to help us make this content, because it's really important, you just go ahead and join our Patreon community and you can do just that. You're going to do a good thing. You're going to get that bonus content. You're just going to head to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. And also, speaking of my book that is a 2022 international book finalist.
You guys can go get,
yes, go get that. Robin and I wrote, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family is available at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, you can check IndieBound. You can also get the audiobook if you want to hear Robin and I read to you at night. That's available on Amazon at iTunes. And then don't be afraid to rate and review it on Amazon or Goodreads.
And don't forget your ITOCT merch. Boom, boom, boom. We have all kinds of merch. And Pride is the perfect time to get it. Did you see my shirt yesterday at Pride?
I did. You had it on. You were sporting it.
I was sporting it. So many designs. And you can put those designs on any product in the store. T-shirts, mugs, notebooks, face masks, laptop cases. So The sky is the limit. So go to the link in our bio on our Instagram page to get to the store. And then buy it. Like, feel free. Get as many as fit in your cart. We're fine with that.
Fill up that cart. Fill it up. Fill it up and represent. And then don't forget to follow us on the social media. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And like we've said many times, you can support the podcast and join our community on patreon.com/ovariestalk. That's where you're going to get that bonus content.
Boom, boom, boom.
And I think that's it for now. I think our lovely listeners have heard us ramble way long enough, Eve.
Okay.
But We're doing a good job. This is just so fun. E and I are having so much fun talking. It's hard to end it. That's the problem. Yeah. It's fun. We're having fun.
We do have fun.
And we
every
have
time.
Good things in store for y'all too, because we're planning. We're planning and planning and planning. Right. Helen just hit me under the table. All right, that's it. We gotta say goodbye.
Can I say it?
Let's not give it all away. Yes, it's okay. On you, E.
Fried eggs, ovaries out. Yes.
What? They're fried.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.